Blog Talk Radio.
1 John 2.
My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, brothers. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. First of all, thank you opportunity, God, that I sent you the link. You got the link, or you got the email, or you're listening from the Facebook link. We'd like to welcome you to the program today in this episode, a new episode. We are now into March of 2022, and we continue to be able to speak life into the brothers, to strengthen, to encourage you, and to just be able to, you know, talk about those issues that we're dealing with as men, and we're dealing with as husbands and fathers and sons, as we continue to lead in the homes, in the churches, and in our communities, and just and encourage one another. I think that's the biggest part we want to get out of what I'm doing here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Being part of these discussions is to encourage you in your faith walk. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about sin. We're going to put some definitions on it. We're going to talk about how do we know what sin is, because even in the midst, some of us in the body of Christ, you know, the teachings on sin are not readily available, or, you know, not preached about. I could think back over my Christian faith, over my walk, how many sermons I actually heard and teachings on sin. So today we want to open the lid on that. Hopefully guide and direct and stir your spirit up to seek out what the Bible says. Because we know with the traditions of men, we put a lot of things under sin. We put what we wear and smoking and drinking and all these other things and call it sin. But we want to see what the Bible says about sin and how do we determine what is sin in our life. Because my sin and your sin may be different. It really depends on our faith, our understanding. But we're gonna dive into that a little bit more and hopefully encourage you to go deeper into who you are and examine yourself. Amen. Elder Mark, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. Good morning. Good morning. God bless you. As always, my brother, a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Amen, brother. Amen. You know, you're my co-host. You're my new co-host, man. We're reviving our previous relationship. Amen.
Amen.
But Amen. I would like to ask you to open us up in prayer, and then we're going to go right into the conversation.
Amen. Glory to your name, O God. Glory, glory, Father God, to your holy, matchless name. Lord God, we come before you as humbly as we know how, Lord God. We reverence you as our King, as our Savior, as our Creator, Lord God. You are God and God alone, and Father God, we want to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us beyond any way we could ever love ourselves, Lord God, for instilling us, Lord God, even in this new day, Lord God, desire to serve you, to honor you, and to bless you, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for this time, Lord God, this encounter, Lord God, this opportunity to learn more of you and thus of ourselves, Lord God. Continue to speak through us, into us, and with us, Lord God, so that we can move with the discernment, Lord God. We can feel, can hear from you with revelation, Lord God, to know that you are speaking, Lord God, and that what we have to discuss and what we're talking about, Lord God, you are in the midst, Lord God, that you're speaking so that we can all move to a different place, Lord God, with a new understanding, a new vision, a new outlook, Lord God, a new perspective, Lord God. Your word says that every day we're birthed as new creatures, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God, that as we come together, Lord God, we'll come together with the purpose, the intention, Lord God, of going into this with a different perspective, a different understanding than we did yesterday. No longer agreeing with the ways of the world, Lord God, and truly standing in the strength to renounce the desire to be our own Savior and allow you to be God in our lives. So, Father, we thank you, we honor you, and we bless you. We pray to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, thank you, brother. Well, again, today on this episode, we're going to be talking about how can I know if something is a sin. And to start us off, we want to define sin. I want to read something here, brother, and then I'm going to get your insights on it. So we understand what sin is. The Bible describes sin as a transgression of God's law. And we understand that sin began with Satan and his disobedience, the sin of pride, who thought he desired to be higher than God, and Lucifer, his downfall, because he wanted to be higher than God. He wanted to esteem himself, pride. God created him for a purpose, and in that purpose that God created him for, he took pride in that purpose and thought he was greater than God. That's the simple description there. But to understand that is to understand where sin began. Sin began in God's creation, who developed pride because of who God made him to be. And in that, he thought he was greater than the Creator. So that's where sin comes in. And from Lucifer to Satan. And he's called Satan, which it translates to a lot of different names in Scripture. He's the tempter, the deceiver, the adversary. He's against God. He's against the things of God because, again, his whole thing was pride, and he wanted to replace God on the throne of creation, but yet he was a created being. So that's one thing we definitely have to understand what it is in our faith and what the Bible says, who God is and who Satan is, and clear those definitions up because we hear a lot of things that are not biblical and not in the teaching. But anyway, let me move on. And even in that, you know, God, it was Satan who brought sin to the human race. We all know God, the story in the Garden of Eden. We had tempted Adam and Eve. with enticement, that you shall be like God. And Eve fell for it, and Eve's rebellion against God and against his command. And since that time, from the eating of the fruit, from Eve giving the fruit to her husband Adam, has been passed down through generations of mankind to where we are right now in the 21st century. It's still that same sin of Adam that is in us as human beings, as descendants of Adam, and we inherited sin from him. And the Bible speaks about that in Romans 5. It tells us that through Adam's sin, that through Adam, sin entered the world, so death was passed to all men because the wages of sin is death, that we all are going to die. No matter how much you work out, no matter how many plants you eat, no matter how many shakes and smoothies and miles and laps and exercise and cardio, we all going to die. Just saying. Just want to keep it all in perspective. Amen. So in that, I hear you, brother. What you want to say? Go ahead.
I'm waiting. I'm just agreeing.
Amen. You know, some people just got to shake them up a little bit. But anyway, again, I encourage you to go to Scripture and see what Jesus said about that, about extending your life. What did Jesus say about extending your life? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm doing it again. Let me stay to what I want to talk about. But in that, in sin, you know, there's different types of sin, because we want to talk again. That was called, the sin of Adam is the inherited sin. That means we were born sinners. We were born into sin because of Adam. The sin entered our nature. It transformed sin into rebellion, and it brings spiritual death, and it brings physical death. And depravity of our hearts, that's who we are, because we are born sinners. You know, I hear a lot of, everybody realizes, you know, preaching and teaching talks about, you know, why we don't have to teach kids to be disobedient, because we're born sin. I know they're cute. Our children, our grandchildren, everybody, they're all cute. But without proper guidance and direction, they're going to turn into monsters. Full-grown monsters. I don't mean the cute little kind. They'll turn into monsters without the correction, guidance, and accountability that what the Word of God calls. This is why God calls for fathers. There's a great responsibility in being the father, because you're trying to bring a sinner under submission. I'm going to leave that right there. Amen. So there's the inherent sin. There's the impudent, the impudent sin that comes again through Adam, and there's also personal sin. So there's three types of sin that I'm going to talk about a little bit today. The impugned sin. What is impugned sin? Basically, the impugned sin is from Adam. It came from Adam, from his descendants, and we are dealt with the guilt. We have to deal with the guilt, because it doesn't mean that we personally guilty of Adam's sin. It's only that his sin was credited to our account. It's like, you know, if you pay somebody's bill, you credit to their account. Because of Adam, as human beings, as a human race, we are all born sinners. And everyone participates in that guilt. And that's what we are, transgressed against God's law, because of what Adam did, because we are all descendants of Adam. That's a simple answer. That's a simple theological answer to understanding why Adam's sin affects every human being. No matter where they're born in the world, no matter what their culture, background, who your mama, your daddy was, I don't care if your mother was the bishop and your father was the evangelist, it doesn't matter, we're born into sin. Without Jesus Christ, there's no way out. Amen? So, in saying that, and in bringing in just laying that foundation for our discussion today, how do we know what is sin? How do we know what is sin? And that's the thing that we're going to talk about a little bit today. Bro, I'm going to bring you in, bro. I'm going to begin with you, man. What do you think? What is sin, and how do we get to that place where we understand?
Well, you know, it's so cliche to talk about. You know, we see even in the cartoons when we're younger, we see that, you know, the one bad one sitting on the one side and the other one sitting on the right side, and that's our conscience. And I think all of us, even from a child, we know, we have an idea that something is right or wrong. And when we do so, I mean, I'm just thinking of my grandson. God bless him. He'll be a year next month. But I can see in his face sometimes the things that he does and the little smirk he makes. He knows he did something wrong, but he's looking to say, did I get away with it, or am I going to get in trouble? Did I get away with it, or somebody going to make me sit down on this couch instead of letting me run around and have my way? You know, it's the same way as we become adults. we know certain decisions are unpleasing or just aren't right. It's just an inkling inside of us because we have a desire. And in our body, I believe all of us, even those that don't admit to it, that don't have a relationship with God, we all have a desire to do the right thing. Then there's a decision. Are we going to do the right thing? We are led, and like you said, the impugned sin, we, you know, it's guilt. It's the connection. It's because this vessel, because this body is birthed flesh, we are related. We are connected to the original sin of man, which is the original sin of Adam, as you said. But I think what we have to recognize and we have to see and what I've come to understand is that when you start to second guess something, when you start to look at it and realize, and you can, let me rewind back and just make it real simple before we go too deep, just to start my opinion. If you can't ask Jesus to go with you while you're doing it, it's a sin.
Amen.
If you can't do that same thought, if you can't do that same action, and not worry about if Jesus walked in the room, what would I do? It's a sin. Simply put, we have a desire to please God. Physically, emotionally, we have a desire for connection. The only connection that we know before anything else is to be pleasing unto God. That's a part of our spirit. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. It doesn't matter. There's a desire within you to do the right thing. And that comes from our spirit. That comes from our connection to God. In my opinion, that is something we all have. Now, whether you decide not to agree with it is a choice, of course, and God is a gentleman, so he'll allow you to make that choice. But sin, we all know what sin is. We all know things are wrong. And when we choose to make that, when we choose to do that action or think that thought or to continue on that vein, that's when we know that we're sinning. And I think the judgment call, and for me, in my opinion, if I can't take Christ into it with me, I know I'm sinning. I know if I couldn't invite Christ into that thought, whether it be a lustful thought, whether it be a thought of anger, or whether it be just whatever, if I know, if I open up and said, Christ, would you be with me in this? I know he wouldn't, because it's sin. He wouldn't sit beside me and say, oh, let's just do this together. And it goes beyond, you know, the normal thing of I know smoking, I know drinking. Sometimes it goes on to what we think about. Are we lusting over that female that walked by? Are we lusting or are we worshiping that or idolizing something that we've seen? Are we believing that we can sneak by and get by to do something, and if nobody sees us, it's okay? Would you regret it if somebody saw you? That's a question. Easily defined as sin. Back to you, brother.
Amen, amen. And brothers, that's the thing we have to consider. Again, every man has to search his heart and has to look inside and look who you are in Christ and look how you are applying the word of God to our lives. Because, again, let's not forget, we are all sinners in need of a Savior. You know, that impugned sin that we talked about, the atoning work of Jesus Christ, That's exactly what it did. But Christ had to die because of what Adam did. Okay? Let's understand why Jesus came. That's why we know Jesus paid the price for all sin and all mankind. Just as Adam plunged mankind into sin, into being sinners and into disobedience, Jesus came to pay that price to atone it. I'm going to find my scripture real quick. I believe it's Romans 5:19. It says, just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, that many were made righteous. So this is why Jesus had to come. Even when we're doing evangelism, brothers, when we're sharing the gospel, this is the gospel. Who was Jesus and why did he come? This is what we have to explain to the sinner man. We have to be prepared to give an answer to. Because when we talk about Christianity, we talk about evangelism and reaching the world for Christ, these are the things that we have to get people to believe. You know, we know the scriptures in Romans to believe, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, but this is what they must believe. that Jesus paid the price for the sin of Adam. This is part of the gospel. Adam's part of the gospel. That's why I always say the gospel starts in Genesis. It starts in Genesis 1:1. That's where the gospel begins. It doesn't start with Jesus. It started long before Jesus because of what God has said and the promises God made in Genesis. But I'm going to move forward. I'm going to go back to sin because now when we're talking about the sin individuals, each of us, how are we living and how are we applying the word that we know as men of God? We are confessed believers in God, men of God, but now how are we living and to be apply this word and understand what sin is? And like my brother said, I like that the metaphor he used. If Christ is your Lord and Savior and you would live to please him, are the things you doing pleasing to him? It's as simple as that. You know, what are we doing with the life? What are we doing with our time? What things are we really doing and thinking? Because I just want to say, because our conscience does, it's always our conscience. Even before we knew Christ, even when we was out in the world, we knew some stuff was bad, just some stuff wasn't as bad as some other stuff. Because we wasn't living by the standard. But then there was always our conscience because we knew, you know, stuff just wasn't right. But, hey, I got away with it. It was cool. I had a good time. So we just keep on rolling with it until we get caught or it doesn't go our way. And those are what we call the repercussions of what we did. There's repercussions and consequences of the things we have done. But in the time we're doing them, you know, we know they're wrong. But if we get away with it, because, again, we look at it as men of God, and just as human beings on this earth, we get away with a lot of things because of God's love and patience. So as sinners, we have to understand that God is going to judge us for all things. You know, in Scripture, and also, brothers, for my theologians out there, my brothers who are in the Word of God, you know, the Word of God tells us a lot of things that are sin and of the flesh. You know, in Proverbs 6 and Galatians 5 and 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6 is my favorite because let me say this. When we go with genders and gender identification and LGBTQ, I don't even want to argue. Go to Colossians, and I'm not even going to discuss it anymore. You can do what you want. Every man, every human being can choose, but don't tell me God made you that way. Bro, I'm coming to you because I need to take a breath because otherwise I'll go all the way down another path. What do you say, sir?
Amen. Well, it's always amazing how God just puts stuff right in front of you. So I was opening Bible Gateway as I'm here in front of my computer to, you know, bring up some of the scriptures we're discussing. And the verse of the day is Deuteronomy 6:6-7. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up." We know there are commands that are given. We know the Ten Commandments, and we know that there's a host of other commands written throughout the Bible that tell us what sin is. What we sometimes overlook is what sin loving God. If we love God, we'll keep his commands, first and foremost. If we love God, we'll keep his commands. It's so easy to ask God to take the back seat while we do this. Have you ever heard the statement? I know I've said it so many times before. If I could just ask Jesus to step aside for a minute, I could deal with this a different way. That thought, I know it wouldn't be pleasing to God. And because of who we are, because of who we're made, because of the fact that we're made in the image of God, there is an inkling, just like Deke said, even before we profess the sinner's prayer, before we ask for salvation, there is an inkling with inside of us, that conscience, that tells us, hey, this is not right. And then there's some that will make a decision and say, oh, well, it's not that bad. Others will say, I'm not going to do it because I know it's wrong. Others are going to say, I'm going to do it because I know it's wrong and because it's pleasing, because it gives me what I want. We have to get beyond the place of trying to gratify the very temptations, because those temptations are the things, the prideful things, those are the things that Adam was tempted with, that Eve was tempted with, doing something they knew God told them not to do. God in the beginning gave one command: all this is yours except for this. All this is yours except for this. And the enemy will try his best to throw the temptation, to throw doubt, because he already committed the first sin. Before we were even conceived, before we were made, the first sin was already committed in his pride. That's why there was a fall to hell. The enemy's desire for you to fall out of the will of God is simply introduce sin. He is the deceiver, is the liar. He is the one that wants to prove God wrong. He still is desiring to show he is just as good as God or better than God. And if he can convince us to sin and go against God every day, he's building himself or representing himself stronger and stronger in our lives. We have to be the ones that show others in our lives. We have to show others in our example, even though we're born of flesh. Even though we're born into a sinful nature, we can make the decisions to not fall into those very temptations. Every day we're tried. Every day we're tested. Every day our decisions, every day the things we think about, every day the people we're around, sin is all around us. God is all around us. Which will you submit to? Which one will you call your God? That becomes the question of determining your sinful nature or your faith. If you're willing to submit and allow sin to control you, if you're willing to submit and allow those temptations to be the very thing to direct your life rather than your love for God, which says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands, then that's the decision. That's where sin comes in, and that's what we have to deal with. I think we always talk about it as we're raised as children, as we babes in Christ, as we're, you know, introduced into this idea of salvation, that yes, we're forgiven, and because we're forgiven, all of a sudden that gives a clean slate to start doing it all over again. Now, that goes into a whole other issue of iniquity, but we'll go back to that. What we have to realize, there is a decision in everything. What you decide from this day forward, what you decided before this day, is your commission, which you submit to. When you submit to God, when you submit to the spirit man, you are leaving that sinful nature behind. You will always be tempted. We can never escape temptation because we are flesh. If you want to escape the temptation of sin, you got to die. That's the only way to escape the temptation of sin. But you can work to be stronger than that temptation and commit and submit to following the will of God. Once again, a decision we were all faced with. And because of that, we can make the decision to decide if we're going to follow God or if we're going to sin. And when we do so, the reward is the reward or the curse. Which one will you choose? Back to you, sir.
Amen, 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 brother. I believe what you're saying, and I pray that the men are being encouraged by this. Again, this is Christian Men Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr here with Elder Mark and Grady, and we're discussing how can I know if something is sin. I think one of the things, dude, we have to go back as men of God, as professors of Jesus Christ, living epistles, as disciples of Christ. We have to understand that we need to remember that our bodies, as well as our souls, have been redeemed and belong to God. And do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit? The scripture says that the Holy Spirit is living within us. We're different from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Samuel. We're different than Old Testament saints, believers, and prophets. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us now that should be guiding and directing our choices and decisions. So when these choices come and when these temptations come, it should be the Holy Spirit within us and the word of God that we know and we apply that should govern our choices and directions. Because we move, because now our conscience, as we speak before, our conscience, again, is something that kicks in before our salvation, because God has given every man a conscience of a sense of right and wrong. It may not be the gospel, but there's a sense of right and wrong, but yet we still violate it because the flesh is greater. And again, the influence of the deceiver, of the liar, is more. We're slaves. How you say we're slaves to sin, as compared to being slaves of righteousness, as the Bible says. But now, being slaves to righteousness, the Holy Spirit within us will guide us. So therefore, we have to take, and when the Bible says we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, it's time that we now evaluate our actions as it relates to God and who God says he is, as to what God's word says, and the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. And I want to throw this in there. When we talk about accountable, when we talk about being held accountable by one another, by being part of a church, by a body of believers, by having a circle of influence, all of these things is what God created mankind and the church to be in the lives of his people. So when we forsake these things, because I'm going to talk directly to these brothers out here who think they can be staring, they're saved and good, they don't need to go. I've heard all kinds of things over the years. I don't believe in organized religion. I don't need the church. I'd study on my own. I have this relationship with God. All these cliches and things, because they don't want to be held accountable in this temporal realm. They want to walk around and be perceived as something they're truly not. Because what did Jesus say about his church and about the believers in the church, that how much they would love one another? I'm just going to leave that there, because the scripture contradicts anything you can say on why you're not part of a local congregation, a group of believers. There's, again, I've said it all. I've said it ever since I've come to faith. There's no such thing as long range. All the long range of Christians I know out there, they're not living the life. I can say that with confidence. Because they're doing stuff in secret that only God knows, and God's going to punish them for. I'll leave it as simple as that. Because they have no accountability in their life. But that's another show. But I just want to come back and just say, all of our actions, we need to evaluate them in relation to God. And the relation, and now this is the other part, as Christian men, as husbands and fathers. How does our actions relate to how they will affect others? Our family, our friends, the people, our church family, because you know when a man falls, when a believer falls, it affects the church. It affects those who pray for you. It affects those who labor beside you, because there's an effect, there's a ripple effect. Something that I used before as a metaphor, and you throw a rock, a pebble, whatever, into a lake. There's a ripple effect across that we can't even see. That's stirring things up underneath. We just see the splash and the ripples on the surface, but underneath, there's also things are changing and being moved around and shifted. So there's an effect. So again, we need to, as men of God, evaluate our actions and choices as they relate to God and to those around us. And that's one of the things, that's how we know if it's sin. What is going to be the influence and the effect of the thing that we've done or thinking about doing, or planning to do, to think we can get it, because we make a lot of plans to get away with stuff. I just want to pull skin back on some of you brothers, because we plan to do some stuff, and then we make sure it'll be covered up very well. We're just going to go in and get out, and we're going to cover it all up, and we got an alibi set up. I'm just saying. But I'm coming back to you. How harmful is the effects of someone? How does sin ripple through those around us? And that's how we know it's sin. Because how will it, when it comes out, how is it going to affect everything about our life? What do you say, sir?
Definitely. It's like you said, you know, there's a stirring up of things that you don't realize under the surface. When you drop that pebble into the lake, when you drop that stone or you drop that boulder, sometimes it may seem calm, sometimes it may seem like a rough turn or a rough change of things, a rough ripple, but there's always some things that affect in the background that stirs up those very things that started to settle. You know, just the little things that we start to do open the door for the enemy to come in and do some more in our lives. Just like you said, that ripple. You may see that little ripple, but, you know, what you don't realize is when that stone still travels through the water and hits the bottom, all the muck that it stirs up on the bottom, that now someone that's been praying and praying can't even see you and get through to you because you're so convinced that what you did was the right thing. What you did was covered up. What you did, nobody saw. Nobody may have seen it, but a lot of people felt it. A lot of those connected to you felt it. I'll give you an example. You got away with that one-night stand today. You got away. Comes in a couple months later that says, I'm pregnant. And that call comes in as you're laying next to your wife in the bed. You thought you got away with it. You thought that it didn't have a big effect. Now not only is your marriage in trouble, your kids, you got to explain to your children how their father stepped out on their mother. You got to explain, and now you got this other child out of wedlock that is still your responsibility, that is still your godly responsibility to be a role model for. And you've got to spend their life explaining to them what was wrong or what happened, why the relationship is strained the way it is. Time you stole something and thought nobody knew or didn't affect anything. But the one thing you stole was something that another person depended upon. That person depended upon it. They weren't able to get it. They couldn't get what they needed to help someone else, and someone died. It could have been as simple as $5 on a table that you thought meant nothing, even as a teenager or a child, that you thought meant nothing. Because, oh, nobody's going to miss this little $5 if I just stuff it in my pocket. But that $5 was for the bus fare to get somebody to another person's house to deliver some medicine that they needed. But because they didn't have the medicine, they got sick. Or that was the money that was supposed to help somebody buy lunch. Because they couldn't buy lunch, as they were hungry, they decided to do something out of sorts. We don't realize what we do today can affect so much tomorrow, just as much as when we pray for somebody that we don't know today, we don't realize that they could be the very person that could save our own child years down the line, or be the one that prays over us years down the line. There was a story, and this goes to the other side of sin, but I just want to explain it just to give an idea what that ripple effect is like. There was a young man who was praying and asking God, please, God, show me, if you're real, you'll show me such and such. I'll see a person doing this whatever action. The person that was assigned to do that action said no. They didn't do what God called them to do. That one action was all that one person needed to see to understand God was real, to believe God was real because they were being tested. Because they didn't see that, they lost their faith. They stopped pushing. Because they lost their faith, the call that was on their life to be a minister or a chaplain in the church or in the hospital that would be the one that was going to pray over another child with cancer didn't show up. The person that was going to pray over that child with cancer was going to be the one that helped a family member see God in that prayer, and that person was going to be the minister that spoke over another person to save their life. Imagine if that one action that was called would have been done. The same goes to the other side. Imagine if you commit that action that you're called and said not to do, and that ripple effect goes the opposite way, to the point that it pushes somebody to killing themselves. You thought it meant nothing. You thought it wasn't important, but that action pushed someone else to the brink of death, to the brink of destruction. We never understand what can really happen, but we are called to a different call. We're called. There's a conscience. There's a thing. There's a plan. Sometimes we don't understand the plan. Sometimes we don't recognize the plan, and I just pray that we all get to a place that we do understand that there is a call, that there are decisions, that decision can save or kill somebody else. That's when it really hits home, that your decision isn't only about you, because we are all interrelated in some way, shape, or form. It's so funny when we talk about, like, the city of Baltimore, we talk about this, you can throw a pebble and find somebody, throw a rock and find somebody you're related to. The same way happens with just the human existence. You can throw a rock and find somebody you're related to, but what if that rock you throw is the one that disrupts another person's life because you decided to make the wrong choice? Take it from that perspective. If my choice affects more than me, what choice will I now make? The one to gratify this quick few minutes, or the one that can save somebody else's life? Food for thought. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Gentlemen, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here every Saturday morning live at 9 a.m. Also, we are www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can always listen to this episode and all our past episodes that are saved in our archive. I was going through the archive the other day, and I just realized I've been doing this for about 7 years now. I went back to 2014 shows. Amen. God is good.
Amen.
But, amen. But, you know, but man, these are the things that we have to, these are what I'm talking about. This, I'm thinking about how this show came about. It was Issues Christian Men's Talk. Because once I got saved, I was dealing with a lot of issues, a lot of questions, a lot of things that I heard brothers talking about that wasn't being talked about. I mean, we can sit in sermons, we can, you know, we get sermons and Bible studies, but there's issues that men are dealing with that we have to really consider and go in a deep, deep dive in what scriptures tell us how to live. And I think the whole thing I realize for myself is what the Word of God is doing. The Word of God is not for cliche, not just you to memorize and be cute and have our kids memorize it. It's for the application of what God is saying in His Word and through the Holy Spirit to change who we are on the inside. The Bible says about renewing our minds. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit should be renewing our minds when we're thinking different. And we understand that's what sin truly is. As we speak of sin, it's not a passing thing. It's a serious thing. Because of sin, Cain and Abel had their conflict.
Mm.
So once the devil got in, it only took one generation for murder. So think about that and where we are now and what goes on in the world. And for believers and even for believers who struggle, and then the unbelievers, some have no struggle. Their consciences are seared to the point nothing bothers them. You know, so again, this is why we are to be salt and light. This is why we are to be as husbands and fathers and leaders in the community, because we have to be able to be light in the darkness. First in our homes with our children and grandchildren, our families, to be able to speak a word of God, to be able to pray, to be able to guide and direct and mentor and disciple. But then now into a lost and dying world, into a culture, we have to speak up and be light whenever possible, whenever we can. So again, brothers, as men of God, we have to start getting to be the man of God calls us to be and fulfill the purpose and plan He's had for our lives and what He's had for His church when we talk about the world and nations all over the world. But just as those that are listening here in this circle, I encourage you to think big. Think about that, the things that we do for Christ and how He said, like the brother was saying, it's a ripple effect. There's something out there called the six degrees of separation. All these philosophies and things, they're all biblical because this is what the Bible says we ought to do. The Bible says that we have to remember that, you know, we have to evaluate not only, how it relates to God, but how it also relates to our family and friends and those in the body of Christ and those unsaved. Is it harmful influence and effect on someone else? The Word of God says, is it better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that might cause a brother to fall? We who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. That means we have to sacrifice some things. The Bible talks about, you know, whatever is done in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and give thanks to God the Father through Him. Again, this is what we have. This is how we have to live, and we have to be conscious of some of these things and how we walk, how we talk, how we live, how we deal with our wives, deal with our children, deal with our church family, deal with the unbeliever. This is as men of God, this is why we have to take time to be meditating into the Word, that when the time comes that we can live out this Word, we can apply this Word to our situation. And I'm not going to say it's easy. I'm not going to say it's a simple thing. But that's why we walk this walk continuously in obedience to Him and want to do better every day and live this life pleasing to Him. That sin is not habitual. It's not a habit. That our habit is righteousness. That our mindset is to please Him, is to live a righteous life. Amen? So, again, we have to look at each other. We have to look at ourselves first. Where are you? Where am I in our relationship with God and who He called and calls us to be and who He's called us to be in Christ? You know, we take a lot of time. We put a lot of emphasis and ambition on things in this temporal world, which is fine. There's a balance, but I just believe we have to find a balance where the things of God take a equal footing. I mean, you got to find out where that is. It could be 60-40, 50-50, 70-30. You pick what side you want God on and what side you want the other things on. But there's a percentage in our lives that we have to figure out how we're going to live. It's as simple as that. Because unless we are pursuing righteousness, pursuing the things of God, that's why I say it, but we have to pursue God. We have to seek Him in all things and have a renewed mind. And this is how we can know what sin is and what sin is not, and how do we define sin. I mean, we understand the basics. We talked about it earlier, but, again, this is about how we're going to live, you know, and there's so many, and again, the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to come back to you, brother, and then I'm going to let you weigh in here. But I just want to give a couple of scriptures as footnotes for some brothers who want to listen to and go in and go for deep dives into the scripture. We're going to go to Romans 14, Romans 15. Again, 1 Corinthians 6, Colossians chapter 3. And then deep dive into those scriptures to just be able to see what God is saying about sin, how we deal with sin, how we are to purge some things out of our lives, to again realign our conscience that our conscience is sensitive to God. Again, that the Holy Spirit is truly going to be speaking to us in these times. You know, in these times that we'll in the scriptures that we quote unquote memorize, that we apply it when the time comes. That we apply it just as Jesus did in the wilderness. Because the devil's going to tempt us with some other stuff. But do we have a word in us that we can be able to reply to it? Is there a principle living within inside of us that we can reply to the temptations and the trials that Satan's going to put us through in our experience of wilderness when he's going to come at us from directions we may not even be prepared for? You know what I mean? Because remember, the enemy, he's coming like a thief. You know, so he's not telling you when he's coming. And you never know who he's going to use to push us, to test us, to try and get us off course, and get us in to do that sin that's unpleasing to God, that's going to have a ripple effect. Way before we figure out what we did was wrong, and brothers, unfortunately, before we figure out, everybody knows. Everybody's going to know before we know they know. What do you say, sir? I'm coming back to you, bro.
I laugh because so many times in my own life I look back and just think in retrospect the things that I thought I was hiding, things that I thought I was covering up, that I just made the situation worse. Because had I have been open to deal with them, had I have known where I was taking myself, decisions I was making for myself. And that's always my prayer, that even the decisions that I've made and walked myself into, that God will turn around for my good. Things that have to be removed, have to be fixed. Things that I have to back up to and redo. But there's so many times that we make decisions to gratify certain desires, and we're so willing to hide that very thing, cover it up, thinking we've got away with it. If we take the time, the same amount of time that we spend trying to cover it up, if we took that same energy and put it into the right decision in the first place, we begin to realize we wouldn't have wasted all that time. We'd be in a much better place. The things that we thought we were hiding and pushing behind just opened the door for more issues. Very transparent. I was dealing with some severe depression and anxiety for health issues. I was actually just in a place where I knew an addiction that I dealt with came about in my life. But because of a title, because of a place, I felt like I shouldn't be going through this. I shouldn't be going through this. I can deal with it myself. Even though there are people around me that were there to help me be accountable, even though there were people around that would help me pray through it, I hid the situation because I was ashamed of the situation. I was ashamed of what decisions I was making. I thought those decisions weren't really affecting anybody else. But then I realized those were the very things that were keeping the door open for the enemy to just hold me in a place where I wasn't reaching my full potential. I wasn't reaching everything God had for me. I wasn't stepping into the call that I really know is on my life. The enemy truly is a deceiver. His purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Just like Deke said, he may not come at you full-fledged with sirens blazing, but he's going to come in the midst of the night. He's going to come in where you think is the most secure place, sneak in and work from the back, work from the inside, and start tearing things apart. That's what happens when we try to cover up the sin. That's what we don't realize. That's what I was speaking about, and you know, that pebble is dropped in. We don't realize. We think because we were able to just a few ripples on the top, we were able to kind of hide everything, but under the bottom, there's a whole lot of muck that gets turned over and flipped around and pushed up, and it brings up all kind of issues that affect so many other things. Had I have been in a position to just openly deal with my issues, openly deal with what I thought was what you know, the enemy had me thinking. So long story to begin, I've dealt with some health issues for quite a long time, and they brought me to a place where I was just withdrawn on myself. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't share it. And the enemy had me in a place where I thought I could just self-medicate to get by, and my self-medicating to get by became a blinder to life, a blinder to my call, a blinder to my wife, a blinder to my life. And I just implore you, gentlemen, the enemy is going to try to use everything that you think he won't use. That's the very thing he will use. So what you think you're covering up, what you think you're hiding, what you think you're protecting, and what you think you have in such a safe place is the very thing that he's going to allow to show up. And when it gets out, when it comes forward, you'll realize in just how bad of a position you really are. And it's nobody but God that can get you out of it. And the whole time, had you have depended upon God in the first place and listened to that still voice inside, you would have never been in the situation anyway. But what the enemy does is try to make you doubt and disbelieve and have you in a place of disbelief that God isn't moving on your situation because of your situation. But what we have to realize is, just as it says in Romans 8, all things are working. That means that right now it's still working. The process isn't over. The battle isn't won, but the battle isn't over. Excuse me. The battle isn't over, but it's already won. We got to fight each and every day to make a different decision that's harder than the easy way out. We've got to make a decision to submit to God, to do it the way God has called us. When we talk about sin, once again, if you can't take Jesus into the room, it's a room you don't need to be in. If you can't say, Jesus, come take this ride with me, It's a ride you don't need to take, plain and simple. I can't put it any other simpler way than if you feel like you couldn't ask God to be with you in it, you don't need to be in it by yourself. So much more I would love to say, but I just implore you, gentlemen, make your decisions based on what you know that is the right thing to do. God leads you every day, every chance you get. God is leading. God has always given an answer. He never forgets or forsakes us. He never leaves us. He's always right there with us. We just have to open these blinded eyes to see that he is helping us and guiding us, giving us Holy Spirit to make the right decision. We just got to take the time to listen. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. I thank you for that, man. I thank you for, you know, your sharing, because someone's going to be encouraged. Because as we know, in this culture, in this time, in this season, all is going on, you know, mental health and brothers slipping into darkness, what I call it, and slipping into depression. I encourage, man. This is a time for the church and for men of God to stand up. We need to reach out to our brothers. Reach out to see what's going on. I know the churches haven't been in buildings. Some churches are coming back. Even if your church is starting to gather again in person, start to call some people that you ain't see showing up. And even if your church is not gathering yet back together face to face, everything else in the culture is opening up. So it's time for men to gather. We can gather at a restaurant, the buffet, IHOP, Golden Corral, something. It's time for the men to start to gather, to see one another, to encourage one another, to help to pull some brothers, throw lifelines out there, something to connect back in this thing as men of God, as brothers in Christ. This is the time. It's March, the first week of March. All mandates are falling down, and restrictions and masks and all of it's going. So where's the church going to be? Where are we going to be? Where's those brothers, those men you call your brothers in Christ? It's time to gather. It's time to get back together, to encourage one another, to see what's going on with the brothers. You know, we don't have to wait to get back into the building for worship on Sunday. There's six other days of the week. I'm just saying, it's time. It's time. And we need to, and again, we don't know what people are going through, what they've been through, because, you know, we can hide a lot of stuff by even not showing up or being on Zoom and all this other stuff. It's time to gather for the church to get back to being the church, because we have to be able to minister one to another before we can reach the world for Christ. We have to encourage our brother. So these are the things that we have to start doing as men of God. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we're here live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. You call in at 646-668-2636. You can go on the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Or you can also reach out to us on the Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk and on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter, and begin to connect. And like I said, I'm getting it ready. I'm still working on it. We're going to have a man-up event soon, hopefully when the weather break. If I have to have it outside in the park with some picnic tables, we're going to do a man-up. So I want all the brothers that hear this and get this text, get ready to gather again. Get ready to come together and encourage one another. This is where revival begins. The revival is not an outside tent meeting. The revival is in our hearts and in our minds and in the church, coming back together physically in person. Let's revive the church back. Then we can go revive the lost and bring revival to the lost and bring the truth and the love and the hope of Jesus Christ to the lost. Amen. Brother, you close us out in prayer, man, and then we'll talk soon.
Amen. Amen. Glory to your name, O God. Father God, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord God, to join before you, Lord God. We thank you that, Father God, as we spent this time just discussing, Lord God, as we spent this time learning more of you and thus of ourselves, Lord God, someone, Lord God's mind was empowered, Lord God. Someone's heart would be touched, Lord God, to see, Lord God, that you are God and God alone, Lord God. Questions are answered, Lord God, so that we can move to a different place, a different understanding, Lord God. Father, we don't, none of us have it all together, Lord God. So we thank you that as we join together, we're able to discuss these things, these issues, Lord God, issues Christian men talk, Lord God, so that we can uplift each other, Lord God. For truly we are our brother's keeper, Lord God, and iron does sharpen iron, Lord God. So we thank you for every opportunity that we have to join. Your word says we're two or more gathered. You are in the midst, Lord God, and we thank you that you're in the midst of this conversation, Lord God, in the midst of this discussion. As those that go back to listen in the archive, Lord God, I just thank you that someone, Lord God, truly, Lord God, will hear something that gives them a spark, Lord God, that gives them the desire, Lord God, to change the way of life, Lord God, to move from the ways of old, Lord God, and look at life from a new understanding, a new perspective, Lord God. We just thank you for forgiveness, Lord God. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your favor, oh God. Continue to work on our hearts. Continue to stand us up, Lord God, even when we have fallen, Lord God. We thank you that you stand us up, Lord God. Wipe us off and continue us on the very path of righteousness for your very namesake, Lord God, as we desire to serve you, to honor and to bless you. We thank you, Father. We love you, Lord God, oh God. And we truly, Lord God, lift a hallelujah praise, Lord God, to you, for you are King of all kings, Lord of all lords. And we worship you, Lord God. We honor you and thank you and pray to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you.